Angeles. This is the Rock of Southern California, and this is the home of Sports on Tap.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
With JD and the Puss.
Great icebreaker. If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
Kicking off right now on 95.5 KLOS.
Well, if you're going to talk sports, I think you're going to talk Final Four. We're halfway there, two in and two to go. We get that, NFL news, all kinds of stuff. Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS. It's Sports on Tap with JD in the Bush. Well, we're halfway to the Final Four. The other half is coming up a little bit later on today. But before we even dig in with the knife and fork to the Final Four, what about the World Baseball Classic? You're a big baseball guy.
Yeah, I was there Wednesday night, man. Doyer Stadium. It was a lot of fun. The place was electric. It honestly was. And it's funny hearing what some of the big league guys said. Man, I haven't had that much fun since. A lot of these guys have never been to the postseason, mm-hmm. been to a World Series. And, you know, you're playing for your country. And when a game in March, who thought, JD, it could have meant that much? When the Puerto Ricans, you know, up on their top step, everybody doing everything to try to win this. It meant a lot to both sides.
I felt bad for the Puerto Rican, really, the people, not so much the players. They're all millionaires. I don't feel sorry for them at all. But the people, because, you know, the whole country stopped. Every time they played, the whole country stopped and went to the television. Mm-hmm. If they'd have won, it would have meant the world to them, and we couldn't even sell out Dodger Stadium. There weren't enough baseball fans in driving distance of Dodger Stadium to fill that thing for a Team USA going for a world championship, or true world championship.
Yeah, all you had to do is watch the opening round from down in Miami when the Dominican played Puerto Rico, and they were all just a small little boat ride away there. The place was sold out, more so than ever attended a Marlins game. How sad is that? You need two international teams that aren't even from your country to come there.
I have one word comment to that, Gio. Geography.
Yeah, right. But yeah, they made the trek up here, you know, and it was kind of cool to see everybody walking around doing everything. And they bring the weirdest things, and they bang cheese graters, they bring wooden spoons, and I'm like, isn't this like an object you're not supposed to bring into the game?
It just says to me that there, you know, we sports fans in America we're so sports rich, there's just not enough room for more sports in our life. This is why soccer doesn't take off and go crazy in this country like it does in the rest of the world, because there's too many other things. I mean, we're getting ready for, we got already preseason baseball going on. I was watching some of the home runs this morning over at the other place, over at NBC before we came over here. And, you know, there's just not enough room, not enough hours in the day.
There's two sports in college. All you need to know where the schools actually make money and the conferences share it. And that's, of course, football. And that's the NCAA tournament. I've been to the national championship, called it when it was on ESPN, all that good stuff. I found out later from the AD, we don't make a dime. ESPN says, we're going to put your little tournament on for free. We're going to keep all the commercial money. We're lucky if we break even. Shut up and go play ball. You go to basketball, every time you win a round, here's another $500,000 check. Right, here's another $2 million check. Everybody divvies.
All right, Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush continues. And it appears that Tinder has made professional sports better. We'll explain. It's 95.5 KLOS.
Well, by now you know that weekdays every hour, 8 to 5, KLOS Andrew is shot at $1,000 in the...
Well, that's Lenny Kravitz. Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. Tinder has made pro sports better.
Yeah, especially what this article highlighted was the NBA home court advantage. No longer do you see teams winning all the time at home. And what they had cited, they talked to NBA All-Stars that quoted this. It's absolutely true. You get at least 2 hours more sleep getting late on the road than versus 15 years ago. You don't schmooze. You don't got to go to the club, get the girl. And then she always wants to stop to get something to eat before you go back to the hotel.
Annoying $500 meal.
I know. Denny's at 3 a.m. with a couple NBA players.
No, they don't go to Denny's.
They don't go to Denny's that time of night. No, but even NBA execs are commenting about it as well, too. Now the women will come to you right there at the hotel. It makes things easier. You get more rest. You get more sleep. And you've actually seen the number of road teams win just as much as home teams. There's no more home court advantage.
But also improving the play of really everybody because of that whole routine is changing. It used to be the old school. Game is over. Time to get with your guys. Go out to whatever club, then you have to, that you're dancing, you're making the moves, you got to put your moves on, then it's like maybe the late night dinner.
You wouldn't get to sleep until 5 a.m.
You're not getting busy for hours.
Right, absolutely. Now it's, they'll come to you and, Hi, knock at the door, swipe right, swipe left. But it doesn't matter the sport, baseball, football, you name it. It's easier for teams with pro sports. So just forget about home field. Honestly, I wouldn't even play for a home court, home field advantage anymore. Just flip a coin. Forget the best record.
Who'd have thought when Tinder went online, this is going to make pro sports better. I could tell you that for
the
sure.
The Tinderization, they call it. That's not a great word.
Sammy Hagar and Ronnie Montrose used to have a little band out of the Bay Area called Montrose. This is one of the masterpiece songs from that album, Rock the Nation of KLOS. It's a masterpiece album, really. Rock the Nation, Bad Motor Scooters, Space Station number 5, and all of that from Montrose on 95.5 KLOS. All right, coming up, we've got a special guest headed our way in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Chris Myers for all of you. Headed out to NASCAR. Big weekend out in Fontana at the Auto Club Speedway out there. It's going to be Chris Myers, yeah, from Fox. He's going to be right down there on the track. He's going to join us. We haven't talked to him since he did the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Did a bang-up job, and Chris is going to be on that national coverage. Talk to him. He's going to be by in about 15 minutes, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Kyle Larson from Elk Grove, so a Cali boy is on the pole today. Should be a great race.
Auto Club 400 coming up, but right now.
Now, Babushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
I think I just heard the Russian word for Fontana.
Fontana, it's in there.
I think I did. Right there. Did you change this?
Yes, I did, actually. I'm glad you noticed, man. Well, you are an astute study there, my friend. Hey, it's Final Four time. Right now, half of the team's in, goes Eggs. What two coaches have the most Final Four appearances? And I'll save you a guess.
What now?
It's not Mark Few of Gonzaga, my coach. That's his first, okay?
This is one.
That's one.
One in a row.
Hey, he's been there 19 years straight.
No, what is it again?
Which two coaches in all of college basketball history have the most Final Four appearances?
I think I know.
Two guys. Two guys are tied.
I think I can.
I'll tell you about it next. It's Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS.
In the time it takes to kill this fly.
Incredible yet true.
What two coaches have the most Final Four appearances?
John Wooden.
Should be easy for everybody. Yeah, of course. John the Wizard of Westwood. That's one.
I got that one.
That's one.
Is Coach K the other one?
Coach K.
Okay.
You bet. Coach K is the other one. You win. What do you win? Just my respect. Well, you've already said you've
this
already had that.
This half-eaten donut over here.
And the coffee. It's really good, right?
Yeah. Strong. Can I just say that? All right. Coming up next,
Chris Myers from the Auto Club 400. Check it out.
NASCAR in Fontana today. .95.5 KLOS. We're doing Sports on Tap. Do this on Sunday mornings, 7 to 9. Some Van Halen for you right there.
And you know what I do on Sunday? It's NASCAR heading out at 12:30. They're going to rev them up, and they're going to drop it out of the Auto Club Speedway, the Auto Club 400. He'll be calling the race on Fox. He's Chris Myers. Haven't talked to you since the Super Bowl. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. It has been a while. The weather's going to be good today. The traffic. I said this is the only time that like 39 drivers are happy to be in LA traffic. You know, when they're out there racing. So between the 210 and the 10 freeway, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Kyle Larson's on the pole. A NorCal guy, but still a California guy. Is there a local favorite you can kind of sense when this race comes to SoCal? Now that guys like Jeff Gordon aren't around anymore, that people are rooting for.
Yeah, the handoff, Jimmy Johnson from El Cajon, that's more of the San Diego, but it is a Southern California event, and we ran the numbers. This year, there's as many drivers from California as any one state in the actual race. So, we used to have two races here at the Auto Club Speedway. It's down to one. There's talk after Vegas added a second that they may add a second cup race because the drivers themselves, and there's a driver council, that helps contribute to the rules and the schedule. They love this place. It's one of the older surfaces. It's a two-mile track that provides exciting finishes. There's a lot of lanes to pass, a high speed. So I think between the California drivers and their influence, it should make for a good race and maybe a second date return in the future schedule here for the Auto Club Speedway.
Yeah, that is good news, especially for race fans out here, because NASCAR, I mean, honestly, you think of that, you just think of the East and the South and how much they absolutely love it. And out here, year, they have had a little bit more of a laissez-faire attitude. But you know what? They've built a couple of great places in the last few years. Like you said, the Auto Club Speedway is a great track. So is that one in Las Vegas. So that's probably had a lot to do with it, right? They got great places to race.
Yeah, and driver, you know, Kevin Harvick's from Bakersfield, California. The climate, when you think about drivers from the West, Kurt and Kyle Busch from the Las Vegas area, whatever tracks they begin on as youngsters and work their way up, I mean, they're a signal that this is a sport that is across the country here, and your roots can be from anywhere, and you compete with the best of them. So today's race, you know, Kyle Busch, speaking of him, he's won here three times. He's a guy who's had a little controversy with Joey Logano, but each of the three races that he's won here in California have been the first of the season for him. In fact, his first career cup win came here in California, so he's a guy to watch in his Toyota, along with Larson on the pole. And, of course, Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano and their Fords are always guys to keep an eye on. And Keselowski has had great success here.
He's Chris Myers from Fox. He'll be part of the race crew call for the Auto Club Speedway. You can check it out, the Auto Club 400 today, 12:30 on Fox. You know, you mentioned Joey Logano. He got into that fight in the fisticuffs with Kyle Busch recently. Look, Joey Logano is 35th out of 39th with the qualifier. What's going on? Did he, like, show up late? Did he not do his homework? Why is he so far low on it?
Yeah, part of that. The driver right away points to the tech crew and says, oh, I thought you guys took care of that. The new rule, you know, the rule this year, there's three layers to the tech inspection. It used to be if you miss, you know, if you pass one and miss the second one, you just go back to the second or the third one. Now, if you miss one, you go back through the entire order from the beginning. And so that takes a little bit of time. So, yeah, you have, you know, Jimmy Johnson, he didn't get to qualify because he had a wreck at practice. So he's in a backup car. Logano is starting in the back of the field. So, yes, that's going to create a little intrigue. But this is a place you can pass. And this is a place where, at least this weekend, we've seen a lot of guys scraping the wall. So they're risking the high speed on the turn. So we might see a little more crash activity than we usually see, especially with some of those very good drivers trying to work their way up from the back of the pack.
Hey, Chris, I noticed that I haven't seen or heard as much about Danica Patrick. However, I did see her recently on local television here in L.A. driving around with a sports reporter, you know, being interviewed while she was driving the car. Wow, what a concept. But, I mean, is she a factor? Is she going to be a factor in today's race?
Yeah, you know, some of her better races, she's yet to win a cup race. She was better in the IndyCar Open. Well, she's celebrating her birthday this weekend and with a sponsorship. She has done a lot to bring people to the tent, and she has raced competitively. And I think the encouraging news for her, I'd say she's a little closer. The Stewart Haas race team, which has Kevin Harvick in it, who won the Daytona 500, and also has, I mentioned from Bakersfield, California, former champion Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart's race team. He has since retired, but he's part of the ownership. And Haas Automation is out in Oxnard, where they have their factory, and he works a lot on the equipment for cars, for other cars in NASCAR. But I think she has a good chance with this race team. And Ford, they're moving over to Ford for the first time. There were Chevrolets before that to have more success. So she'll be a factor whether she wins a race. I think we're all waiting, holding our breath. And she is very popular amongst the drivers.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't back off. So I think there's a lot of guys rooting for her to have success.
Well, I'm rooting for her, too. And you mentioned sponsor. She's sponsored by a new dental company as well. Tell her she's got beautiful pearly whites, and make sure you give her my number, unlike you did with Aaron Andrews from the Super Bowl. Aaron still hasn't called me. I'm not happy with you, Chris.
I couldn't make that happen. But, you know, Danica dates the driver of the 17 car, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So they do a lot of things together. In fact, sometimes they've even run into each other on the track and at practice, so you got to be careful.
I'll race them on the 405, okay? We'll see. If I win, she's mine. You tell her that.
All right, you got it.
Thanks, Chris Myers of Fox. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know you got to go, but thanks for being with us this morning on KLOS. Appreciate it, Chris.
All right, next time we'll talk Rams and Chargers and the Raiders coming to Vegas.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. There he goes. Chris Myers. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Right.
Great stuff, man. Gotta love that.
Can you imagine if you're this guy? Are you gonna put her into the wall? No, that's gonna make for a tough.
Don't you put my girlfriend into the wall?
That's what I'm saying.
Think that conversation goes down in the bin?
Think she'll hold a grudge, probably.
All right. Thanks to Chris for that. Yeah, NASCAR action in Kentucky today. Jane's Addiction on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. It's JD and the Bush on Sunday morning. We're doing Sports on Tap.
95.5 KLOS, and you driven by Staples lately?
Not since they erected that gigantic monstrosity on the side of the building.
Yeah, and that's cool, too, because every statue you've ever seen is out in front of a building.
Sure.
You know, rightfully so. That's cool. People can pose, take pictures with it. I don't think you're going to get anybody climbing up on top of that thing, hanging from the side of that thing.
You know what
Shaquille O'Neal, bring it down the rim and on the side of Staples.
You know what I was wondering is if that great big shoe of his is going to be low enough that people are going to be jumping up there trying to hang off of that thing. Regardless how they put it on there, it's gigantic. It is a monstrosity. And, man, you're going to need, like, steel girders to weld that thing to the side of the Staples Center.
I worked for a boss in radio once. It was a huge Hoops fan. Loved Dikembe Mutombo. Why, I have no idea. Okay, but he had one of his shoes that he bought off eBay in his office. The damn thing's a canoe. I mean, like, six people could sit in there. It was unbelievable. He's like, yeah, it's like a 22 wide long. I mean, you go to Foot Locker.
A friend of mine, John DeSantis, he's got the same thing. He's got one of Shaq's signed shoes, and he's got it in a box in his office. I asked him one day, I said, what's that great big box over there?
Iguana?
He opened it up and there's one shoe. I'm like, good grief.
I know.
Size 23 or something.
Go
like
to Foot Locker. Can I get a 22 and wide, please?
No. Call your Converse representative and they'll talk to you about your custom-made shoes.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool statue. You should go check it out. Of course, it honors Shaquille O'Neal and the legacy he left here with the Lakers. You know, it also got me thinking, though, too, is we love to hate each other and people. You know, well, maybe you
That's
and
sports.
I do on the show. It's sports. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What if we put a statue up of L.A. villains? You know, this L.A. would be perfect. We can come by and graffiti it and do all the stuff. We could tag it like we do in L.A. Who would it be for you?
I'm not going to worry about who's going to fund this project because we're not putting a statue up to anybody. But who would be where you say L.A. sports villain?
L.A. sports villains. Who's been a pain in L.A.'s you-know-what? Who did L.A. fans hate? Look, me being a baseball guy, I'll say it right now, Barry Bonds. I don't think you get many people that would...
Look, the media didn't. He didn't like anybody. And and nobody liked him back, really.
Right.
I'm not sure Giant fans are real thrilled with him either.
He said he used to love to play in L.A., how the fans got on him. Some of his best games were at Dodger Stadium,
he's from
too.
Here. His father was from here. Yep. You know, Barry Bonds didn't, as a Dodger fan, he didn't take anything from us. I mean, he was a jerk, but he didn't keep us from winning any titles or anything like that. As a matter of fact, all he did was come down here and get beat by the Angels. Oh! Take that.
Yeah. Best performance ever for a guy who didn't win the MVP in his series, man. That was that's when the rally monkey came about.
Yeah, it might have been. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's right when that thing started. But so if you don't say Bonds, who could it be?
Larry Bird.
Okay.
I'm going to say Larry because Larry Bird isn't around. If you take Larry Bird out of the equation, the Lakers probably win, I'm going to say, at least two of those three championships that the Celtics won in the 80s, and then Magic has like seven or eight.
Okay.
I'm liking the sound of that.
All right. Well, I'll go back with baseball, if you're saying take something from us, Yankees took a couple titles. And, you know, Billy Martin.
That's what it doesn't even have to be any specific Yankee. It's any Yankee. You could just put that Yankee logo up someplace. Yeah, you want to defile a statue?
Steinbrenner. Why not? Right? Put Steinbrenner out there.
Maybe it is, George, because that goes all the way back to the battles with Bobby Welch and Reggie Jackson going at it when Bobby was just a kid. Oh, man, that's a long time.
Billy Martin on a statue out there. Don't you think that'd be cool, though? Is
that's interesting.
If
you've got some ideas, 800-955-KLOS. Sports villain.
Sports
who would be the sports villain
that you hate in
L.A.
You'd love
Angeles.
To see on a statue so you could do you-know-what, too.
Might be good. Yeah. Also... Especially if you put one up there and let them defile it. Coming up, a chance for you to score some Sabroso tickets. Yeah, we got, and that thing's just about ready to sell out. So tell you what you got to do to get those coming up.
You're stressed, aren't you?
No.
You're not?
No.
Why are you clenching?
I'm not clenching.
You're clenching your fists.
I am now.
I bet you're clenching your chest.
Well, we asked the question out loud, and the phone is ringing. Sports villains. Who would be good sports villains? I'm going to get Crab in here first. Oh, look, I was going to go to Paul. Paul is gone. He's dropped out. So let's see. There you are. You there? Hey, man, what do you think? Sports villain. That's exactly right, Madison. That's a good one, Paul. Madison Bumgarner has spoiled a lot of Dodger fans' afternoons, no doubt about that.
He's got a great record. Won three titles, too, since he's been there.
Okay, let's see if I can operate this correctly here. Is this one Crab? Hey, buddy.
Hey,
You know, that's a good one, man. You want to talk sports villains? I'm sure people would be happy to drive by and defile that statue, right?
O.J. Simpson. Wow.
No, absolutely. Go for it. All right, very good. Thanks, Crab. Appreciate it. Let's get Mike in here. Mike, what do you think? Sports villain. Danny Ainge and Kevin McHale to go with Larry Bird, who I said a couple of minutes ago. That's good stuff, man.
Just
appreciate
paint a statue
it.
Green. That'll work.
Just put that Celtic logo out there. We'll throw eggs at that. Sports on tap. Here, Rob. And
oh, unearth something like a body?
Sports villains. Oh. Let's get John on here. John, what do you think? You got a sports villain for us?
Yeah, I do. It depends how you look at it. But being an Angel fan, it's either Donnie Moore, who gave up the home run to Dave Henderson.
Yep, the A's.
Didn't he kill himself, Sox. Though?
Yeah.
That, you they, can't they put a statue on a guy who killed himself.
They say that that's not why he did that.
Right, so. Okay.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. I think I got Todd.
Kick a man
here.
While he's down, huh?
Todd, what do you got for us this morning on KLOS?
Anyone of the Detroit Pistons back in the late 80s. I mean, John Selly. Especially Bill Laimbeer. I want a Stout Albert to sit on that guy.
There you go.
Rick Mahorn,
Adrian yes. Dantley, Vinny Microwave Johnson, Bill Laimbeer, Joe Dumars.
Come on, you're leaving off.
And Isaiah Thomas.
That's it. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. You left a big one off that
Isaiah
list.
Isaiah Thomas,
Dennis Rodman. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a team, man. The Bad Boys. Oh,
absolutely.
You were in Detroit not too long after that or around that time or – I know you did a little radio in Detroit, right?
That was after that was
See,
over.
After that was over. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, this those teams were.
Hey, I want to squeeze Mike in here because Mike, was it your nephew that was had it was and was his debut last night?
No, actually, it was his 14th professional fight.
Okay, what's his name?
His name is Nico the Rooster Macias, fighting out of Tehachapi, California.
Mm-hmm. How'd we do last night?
Well, he fought Cesar Serrano. Who's got a 26-34-1 record with 16 knockouts and 8 rounds, unanimous decision to Nico the Rooster Macias.
All right.
There you go.
Congratulations. That's good stuff, man. Thanks for calling us up and getting him his props on there. He called me yesterday. I said, call the sports show tomorrow morning. We'll do that.
See if you can fight Conor McGregor. Right? Somebody can shut that guy up. I would love that.
Good stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call. All right. Cool. Wow.
Sports villains, huh?
All right, still to come, chance for you to score some tickets for the Sabroso Festival. Ooh, Sabroso, craft beer, and Taco Fest.
Some Raiders news, too.
Yep, got that, too. Drew Sherman coming up. Sports on tap on KLOS. It's Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, and a little Guns N' Roses for you this morning. I think it's time to get the show's attorney on here, but I think he needs his appropriate music in order to... Oh, here we go.
There we go. The autumn wind
is a pirate.
Has descended upon us.
That how it goes, Drew?
Yeah.
You want to recite for us?
The autumn wind is a raider.
I knew he would jump right into it. All right, so listen, here's the scoop. I want to talk about the Raider move because I heard something financially that I want to bring up to you. But before that, man, I caught some of the reporting coming out of the Boston area for the Aaron Hernandez trial. He's already serving a life sentence for the Odin Lloyd murder, but now he's on trial for, and if you may remember back to this trial, there was talk about another shooting where two guys were in a drive-by blown away. Well, the guy driving the car, allegedly, that Aaron Hernandez was sitting in when he blew these two guys away, allegedly, is the guy testifying against him. And the reason why is because Aaron Hernandez tried to kill this guy too, allegedly, by shooting him in the face.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually, as well as a former alleged drug dealer who Aaron Hernandez used to hang out with and make money with, I assume.
They said they were inseparable at one time. They were best of friends.
That's right. Like and bonding, might. Apparently they bonded over their love of money, marijuana, and shooting things. What happened was this guy got a gun to right between his eyebrows by Aaron Hernandez, apparently. But now he's kind of recanting that testimony and talking about that he doesn't remember. Now, that can kind of go one of two ways because, you know, if somebody's going to shoot me in the face and I'm going to live, I'm probably going to remember who did that.
I think.
However, if it's in my brain, I might not remember. So it could go either way.
But and you got shot in the brain, so he's Andy, who knows?
He's Andy Pettit. He misremembered, right? Doesn't remember any of this. Remember that? I misremembered.
That's what he said to Congress.
Yeah.
I love it.
Was actually not a word until Andy Pettit made it up.
Pile on the Yankees all you want to. I'll kick dirt on them all day long. Now, about this Raider move, I hear that the mayor of Oakland, Shelley, stepped up and she said, hey, we've got somebody new with $650 million. We can really make a more attractive offer than Las Vegas. So I guess they're staying, right?
Not so fast. Roger Goodell, actually, I believe, came out this morning or yesterday saying that he does not like the Oakland proposed stadium in Oakland. And in fact, what I'm also reading is that the Raiders now have 27 or 28 votes to move to Vegas and that they have the $650 million bankroll. Actually, I heard by Bank of America going to Vegas, which, by the way, like I said, when they start building that silver and black bullet train from L.A. to Vegas, I am going to have the season car. I'm going to have the whole car reserved for me and my people. So
am I your people?
Wait for that.
Am I your people?
Are you caught up on your bill?
Yes.
Don't ask me about mine. But let me say this about the offer that the mayor of Oakland is talking about. There's one little caveat that she forgets to mention. With the Vegas deal, they haven't figured out how they're going to pay that $650 million back because they've got the room tax thing that will generate the money. Where in Oakland, they're saying, okay, yeah, we'll loan you the money, but how are you going to pay it back? Taxpayer money? Uh-uh, I don't think so. So this really is kind of a sham of a deal, and it's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they have Ronnie Lott's name attached to it, which is, I love Ronnie Lott, and it's a good name attached. But, yeah, I mean, the problem is these days when new stadiums are being built, you know, the taxpayers, you know, they're strapped, and they don't want to come out of pocket anymore. Vegas is, like, the amazing situation because the hotel tax, all the people that are going to be paying for the public funding, let's call it, of the stadium, are the people who don't live in Vegas. So, of course, the people in Vegas are going to be thrilled and have no problem voting it up that they're going to do that. And now they actually have the votes to relocate, which has always been the hardest part, which has always been the part that they've always put against Al Davis, you know, Mr. Davis, God rest his soul. You know, that was always the hard part, was the votes to move by the owners. But now they got it, it seems.
All right, good stuff.
Hey, Drew, tough times in Oakland. Not only are your Warriors leaving Oakland, moving to San Francisco, which means half those people won't be able to afford to go to the games anymore. Now the Raiders are going to leave. That's okay. You got the A's, though, right?
No, I'm from L.A., man.
I know.
L.A. Raiders. L.A. Raiders.
I know. I know you are.
All right, brother. Thanks very much. Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group helping us get it done there.
Two or three teams, Oakland's losing overnight. Poof.
800-955-KLOS. Want to go to the Sabroso Craft Beer and Taco Festival? Caller 25 wins. Round 95.5 KLOS. Hard to handle. Congratulations going out to Frank in Lakewood, right?
Yep. Knew it all along.
I needed somebody to back me up.
sure, Frank. For the 562, hold
on. No,
down.
Seriously, he got through caller 25. He will score himself a pair of tickets to the Sabroso Festival. This is the Sabroso Craft Beer, Taco, and Music Festival, which is coming up down in Doheny on April 8th. It's almost sold out. If you really want to go to this thing, I encourage you to buy these tickets quickly. We will have more to give away today, maybe even more on the show today. But all throughout the day, we've got tickets for you. So if you want to score those tickets all day long, it's a Fistful of Festival Tickets weekend on KLOS, and we'll get you hooked up. But right now,
what do you think? Another Bushka fact.
Bushka facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
NCAA tournament time. How many teams have completed a perfect season? That means the undefeated regular season.
I know one.
And the tournament. It's been a while since it's happened, but how many teams have done so? And my stupid Zags lost a game. Otherwise, they could be on the hook for doing it here. But regardless, I'm not going to pout over that. I'm just happy I'm going to Phoenix next Saturday to watch them. So what do we got here? I'll tell you about it next. It's more than you think. I'll tell you that. It's 95.5 KLOS.
On the next Frosty, Heidi, and
Sports.
Back now to Sports on Tap.
Woo-hoo! With JD and the Bus
on 95.5 KLOS. Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
How many teams, JD, have completed the perfect season? College basketball. I'm talking regular season and going 6-0.
I know one.
In the postseason.
I know one of them.
You know one, huh?
It's the Bruins.
Very good. Very good. The Bruins, and the Bruins actually did it a few times, if you will. But there's a total of not one, not two, seven.
Stop it.
Seven.
Really?
Have done it. Yeah, San Francisco did it back in 1956 with your favorite center of all time, Bill Russell. Yeah, he was. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. North Carolina did it the next year in 1957. UCLA in 64, 67, 72.
Isn't there a back to back in there? Yeah, back to back perfect seasons. Thank you.
72 and 73.
Hold your breath waiting for that to happen again.
It's not been done because I don't know if it's the era of one and duns or the parody. It's not been done since 76. So you're talking a while, man. 41 years. Indiana, the last team to do so. And that's all right. Gonzaga's going to go 39-1. So go Zags.
Couple of pretty big names at the top of the NFL unwanted heap. We'll tell you who they are next. Sports on Tap on KLOS. Talking like this.
I don't know.
Because we're going to talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah, you and I are on our way to Fontucky to watch the Auto Club 400. Chris Myers joined us.
Before it gets away from my head, thanks to Chris Myers for joining us right before he had to go into a production meeting
on Fox.
Over there at Fox. Yeah, Chris Myers and our friends at
and
Fox.
And you'd like
thanks
to know
much.
Danica Patrick has indeed already texted me. Thank you, Chris, for laying the
so he did pass it. All right, good for you.
Yeah, he said we're going
see
for a drive
getting
later.
A fight with her boyfriend, who's another one of those drivers. Good luck with that.
Small little guy.
That's what he is. All right, so we said that there's a couple of guys on top of the free agent pile that people are not so interested in. One of them is definitely Tony Romo.
Yeah, Tony Romo is an interesting situation. What's going on? Dak Prescott, we know, had a great year in Dallas, thanks to that offensive line, but he's still pretty good anyway. So Romo has been supplanted. Are you bringing him back? Aren't you bringing him back? You're going to trade him? You're going to cut him? We thought when Houston dumped Brock Osweiler and gave up half the city, we thought that that was going to pave the way. The Cowboys still think there's trade value for Tony Romo. They're holding on to Tony Romo, trying to see what they can get for him. I don't think they're going to be able to get much anymore. I mean, look, the guy's pushing his late 30s now. He's hurt all the time. We know what he's been able to do, but he's had no playoff success. Where's the value? Where's the sizzle with getting a Tony Romo right here? But there are two new teams, if you heard, JD, that are interested in Tony Romo.
Who?
It's not Denver.
No.
It's not Houston.
No.
It's Fox. And CBS.
Oh, yeah.
Because Romo's always been a good guy. He's been a nice guy. I've seen stories out there that Romo pouring down rain will stop and help an old couple change a tire. I mean, that's pretty awesome that this guy does it. Call AAA. You know what I mean? Romo will get out there and do that for you. And look, he's the kind of guy, he's always played things right. He's been politically correct. He'd make a great analyst, I think. Well spoken and knows his game, certainly. So Tony Romo's going to be fine, whether he's playing football, whether he's not playing football, wants to hang out. But Fox and CBS, to get in a bidding war for his services, which is good. I think they can use a fresh new face.
So, the other guy, the big name that's at the top of the list is Adrian Peterson. He doesn't have a home. He says, I'll take my time making my decision. No. Someone has to ask you to play football for them before you get to make a decision on where you're going to go.
You've got no offers. So what's he going to do? I mean, open up a daycare? I hope not. I would not go to Adrian Peterson for that. That
guy's probably not going to work out.
Probably not a good idea. What are your credentials? Haven't you seen me? I'm all over the news.
Maybe an ice cream. Oh, no, kids come there. That's not going
to
work
either. What are those military schools? You want to whoop your kid into shape? I will send you to Adrian Peterson's camp. That'll do it.
That's going to do it for Sports on Tap. JD and the Bush out the door. Breakfast with the Beatles and Chris Carter coming at you next on 95.5.
Enjoy the race.